Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Keep the Faith, wasn't it powerful, by Lucinda Drayton. That was such a beautiful song. I was feeling a little bit deeper. I hope you were too, and I really mean that. But again, you know, I've just gotten back from India, and there are so many feelings emerging and stirring up. You know, here you are on a mountaintop with 100 countries of various leaders who are all convinced that we're going to make the world a better place. And before we do that, we have to better ourselves. And yes, we're going to see a lot of things collapsing. So inner strength, inner power, inner focus, inner truth, purity of intention are required. And it's the age that we're in. It's this incredible opportunity. We're in this incredible opportunity to bring to life everything that we've often known that we are, which is all under the subject line of my goodness. You know, while I was flying over to India a few weeks ago, I had this little pocket book of the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm just sitting on the plane, didn't turn on anything of the screen that they have there in the seats or what have you. I just read the Gita the whole way, and one thing that stuck out for me was just, you've got three ways that you can choose to live your life. One, live it in goodness, which means in service to the divine. Everything that you do intentionally is in service to the divine. Secondly, passion, driven, the type A, motivated to make a difference and to make a mark in the world, so to speak. And then the third one was to live a life of ignorance, completely unaware that the choices that you make leave an impact, and also that you carry a consequence of those choices. And the whole 24 hour of my journey, I kept thinking about that. That firstly, at a level of thought, to what extent does the soul of Jenna really live in the intentionality of just God's love? I just kept thinking about it. And I could see areas of my life where I have, and I could see areas of my life where I've mixed it. And I could see areas of my life where I just want to be normal. Could I just be a normal person? And I could see how all three of them were in the same category. Like the one in which I live only for God, I can see that path. It's very subtle. It's very divine. It's very quiet. It carries a sense in which I don't need anything from the physical, but I'm receiving everything from the non-physical and sharing that. Then the level of passion is where my mixture comes in between my truth and illusion. There's still a part of me that's not fulfilled, and I still feel that the external world will play a part in helping me to fulfill that need on the inside. And then there's that part of me in which is like, gosh, I've been serving for so long, so what? Om Shanti. Like, I just wanted just about me right now. And each one of these areas have a different percentage of power. So ask yourself, which one am I feeding? The good, the passion, or the ignorance? You're listening to America Meditating Radio. Don't touch that dial. We're going to have Dr. Judith Orloff on. She's the author of The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. So we'll stay tuned and we'll be with Judith in just a minute after these announcements. Jet Smarter. Jet Smarter. JetSmarter.com. I hope you get it. Are you ready to travel smart? Imagine, no more TSA, no more long lines, no more waiting and shoving and being pat down or even getting seated in the middle. You too can begin to enjoy a royal and peace-filled way of travel with folks on the move doing good in our world. America Meditating Radio is pleased to partner with JetSmarter as we take traveling to a whole new level. All you have to do is call 888-VIP-JET and tell them Sister Jen is set to call you, and use the code AMJET for specials. Join me on JetSmarter.com today and let's make 2018 great. The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. that's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. It cannot come except as now. So it's now the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Eckhart Tolle from Monique Rhodes' album, Heartbeat. And hope you are opening the day and just spending the day in a place in which you're checking, you're paying attention, so that you don't waste this valuable thing called life. It's so priceless. And the other day, I was just buttoning my shirt, and I don't know why, but I was just looking at how many, I just kept thinking about my hands, and that some of us can't even do something as simple as button our shirts. And to what extent do I value everything that I've got? So am I living from good, passion, ignorance? Again, I leave this for you to discuss. But why don't we go to our special guest to see if she'll also be able to give us some answers. Dr. Judith Orloff is the author of The Empath's Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People, which teaches readers how sensitive people can thrive in an insensitive world. Dr. Orloff is a psychiatrist, an empath, and intuitive healer, and is on the UCLA Psychiatric Clinical Faculty. She synthesizes the pearls of traditional medicine with cutting-edge knowledge of intuition, energy, and spirituality. And Dr. Orloff also specializes in treating empaths, highly sensitive people, in her private practice. She passionately believes that the future of medicine involves integrating all this wisdom to achieve total wellness. Dr. Orloff's work has been featured in O Magazine, Forbes, Newsweek, Wall Street, New York Post, and she's also appeared on the Today Show, Dr. Oz, and much more. Today we're honored to welcome Dr. Judith Orloff to the show. Hi, Dr. Orloff.
Oh, hello. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. So, you know, I don't know if I am sensitive or not, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm naturally wired to be intuitive because I'm Pisces, so hello. That's a big giveaway right there. And I have to tell you, in the last year and a half, I have observed my sensitivities to the emotional state of the world a little bit more acute than I'm accustomed to it being, because I usually balance out my sensitivities with my logical abilities. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be discussing something that is very sensitive, but it's not very easy to decode, you know? And so what I'm curious about is, you know, what exactly does it mean to be like a sensitive person, or what we would say is an empath? I mean, how do we recognize these abilities, especially in, you know, your medical practice?
Great question. Well, I wrote the Empath Survival Guide because I'm an empath and I needed to learn strategies for myself to stay balanced and also really use all the gifts of being an empath and to also use the empath abilities with my patients. But an empath is an emotional sponge, somebody who is so sensitive that they not only feel what's going on in you, they take it on into their own bodies. Mm-hmm. And this can be positive, of course, if somebody has a lot of heart energy. You know, it's a beautiful thing to feel that and take that in. But if somebody has a lot of anger or toxic energy, a lot of empaths take that on in their body and become ill from it or exhausted. And so I wanted to offer people strategies with this book so that they could learn how not to absorb the energy or emotions of others. I mean, that is a basic skill that empaths need to learn. And once you get the hang of that, then you can really excel in the gifts of intuition, sensitivity, depth, love, friendship, meditation, connection to nature, connection to passion, purity of purpose. Now, all of that, you know, it's so within the empath's realm. But mm-hmm. what stops them from loving that and enjoying their lives is, you know, the thing of absorbing other people's stuff, which is
not easy. It's not easy at all because, you know, especially if you're a very heart-centered person, you definitely pick up a lot more than the average person who might be very, you know, right-brained or very analytical.
Yeah.
Are there different types of empath, or once you're an empath, that's it?
No, there are different types. There's the extroverted empath and the introverted empath. Mm-hmm. Not all empaths are introverted. I happen to be an introverted type, and I love my cave, and I love writing and staying at home and being in the creative world. But there are extroverted empaths who love going to parties, you know, and they like socializing. However, they still need their alone time to replenish themselves. So there's those types, and there's also an emotional empath and a physical empath. An emotional empath is somebody who's really tuned in to other people's emotions, where if somebody is joyful, they can feel the joy, or if somebody is depressed, suddenly they're feeling depressed. And then there's the physical empath who can actually pick up other people's symptoms. So I unfortunately have the downside of that. You know, when I was a child, I couldn't go into shopping malls or crowded places because I'd walk in feeling fine and pick up some ache or pain I didn't have before, or feeling anxious, and I didn't realize I was taking on the energy of the people in the shopping mall or the actual physical symptoms. So I've had to work a lot with my body. If I notice that I've picked up a physical symptom from somebody or I somatize in my body, mm-hmm. I breathe it out immediately, you know, or I meditate, or I have to work with myself so I don't suffer.
So is breathing a way of cleansing the vibrations that we're picking up? Example, a few years ago, from a child, I've often been very, very sensitive to religious bodies, to religious organizations, to religious places. And what I mean is whenever I would go near them, or if I would go near a guru or a priest, except for a nun, I always felt safe with a nun. But with everyone else, I always had this fear, this heaviness in my chest. And I remembered when I had to have a meeting at the Vatican, it took me some time to gather myself together, whatever it was that I needed to gather together, before I could step foot into that doorway.
Yes.
And as I would get right to the door to step in, there was like this this energy that was like danger, danger, danger. And I have the same feeling if I used to go to a church or mosque or synagogue, and I knew that had to do with something from past births. It has nothing to do with my present birth. I mean, geez, my dad's a Hindu and my mother was Roman Catholic. So I've seen it all,
so
to speak. Yeah, so I knew that there was something there. And it wasn't until I became friends with the dean of the Washington National Cathedral, bless his soul, that has transitioned a few years ago. But Father Sanford Gardner was the first priest I actually felt safe with. And that became my journey of just opening up and trusting that now I would actually just go to the cathedral and sit there in solitude. And before, I wouldn't be able to do it. So what would you call that? Because we bump into situations or places or scenes that are quite uncomfortable, but we can't decode where the feeling is coming from.
Right. Well, you know, that was really a touching story. I really can feel what was going on with you. Oh, my God. Mm. Anyways,
and
I
look
think
where
for
I ended
whatever,
up.
We have a second.
And look where I ended up, a sister, a yogi. You know, go figure life, right?
That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I think in general, for whatever issues that empaths, that sensitive people have resistance to, you know, or are triggered by or have a charge with, then if I'm triggered by something, I'll look at it as my own personal healing to look in intuitively to find out, you know, where it is. Is it from my mother? You know, because I'm very, very sensitive to my personal space because my mother was very controlling. And so it's important that I have a big space around me. So, is it my mother? Is it a past life? Is it an abuse that happened early on in childhood? Whatever it is, it's really important that sensitive people and people on the spiritual path, you know, get a sense of what's going on here, so that you can be free in the here and now to give and be and open your heart and not be guarded. You know, unless the situation, of course, is dangerous and, you know, you, of course, use discernment with those kind of situations. But I sort of had a similar thing when I first started speaking, when my books came out in public and I started going on tour. I had this fear that it wasn't safe for me to speak in public and that I would be shot. And so I had to really sit with myself and say, hey, what's going on here? And for me, it was more of a past life, or I'm tuning into the collective repression of the feminine seer healer energy, you know, and it's in the past. And I got very clear that that was past and that I was safe now. And once I had that intuitive realization, I didn't have that charge anymore. So I wasn't entering these situations with fear, at least subliminal fear, that, you know, so I work with myself a lot, and I'm a psychiatrist, so I really help my patients to work with these issues so that they can shine their light brightly and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's talk about the book, because your book, The Empath Survival Guide, could you point out some of the steps that we could look forward to? Because our producer, Antonia, just kept raving about the book and about the steps that are inside. So could you give our listeners like one or two ideas or things that we could really take away with from this conversation?
Well, in the beginning of the book, there's a self-assessment test to see if you are an empath. And the reason it's important that you take that is so if you know you're an empath, then you know if you go into a healthcare situation or with doctors or anything, you need to know that you're an empath, that you don't really need the same amount of medication that other people do, that you have a very sensitive system. It's a whole different ballgame when you know you're an empath. So I would first find out if you're an empath, such as, have you been labeled as, quote, overly sensitive all your life? Or do you prefer alone time to replenish yourself versus being with people? Do you have a deep love of nature? Do you tend to take on other people's symptoms or emotions? Do you prefer one-to-one or small groups compared to large groups? So there's some basic things that most empaths check off, you know, yes, yes, yes. So diagnose yourself as an empath. And if so, then you know that all of what you're feeling, your exhaustion, your emotions, it may belong to other people. It may not be entirely yours. So your journey is to ask the question always, what emotions or physical symptoms are mine? What are other people's? And how can I speedily remove toxic energy from my body? Now, that's the overall plan here in being an empath. But first, you have to know you are one, and then get used to asking yourself the question, is this mine or is this somebody else's? And the way you do that is that you begin to listen to your body really acutely. You know, notice who your energy goes up around and who your energy goes down around. And this is a little confusing to people because somebody might look really good and all your friends might like them, but you feel toxic around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would defer to yourself, or at least find out what you're being triggered by in the person. But, you know, in general, pay attention to how your energy feels around people. I mean, that could make a huge change in your life right away, as most people don't do that. I mean, I do that fanatically because I want my energy to be high. I really need to be clear. And so I'm very careful about the energies around me in my home and in my house and in the world. You know, I'll say no a lot. And that's important for empaths to learn, is that no is a complete sentence. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to defend it. It's just no, it just doesn't feel right. You know, or no, I'm too tired. I want to stay home. You know, or
right.
I'm sorry, I changed my mind. You know, I need to.
And you have that right.
You have that right. And yes, you're going to disappoint people, so get used to it. You know, it's just part of life. But you do it lovingly. You know, you just, if you do it all with love and caring, and it makes a big difference compared to, you know, just kind of asserting your needs with arrogance. I don't mean that. I mean, just take care of yourself. If you're an empath, you most likely have a service here to do in this world. I mean, everything from raising children to, you know, politically getting in there and having a voice and changing from arrogance to kindness, the general atmosphere of the globe. You know, so it could be anything. And one isn't necessarily better than the other. You just have to find your own purpose, whatever that is. But there's no chance that you're going to find it unless you respect your energies the way I'm suggesting. Because you're always going to be tired and you won't know why.
Yeah, I love that. On your Twitter handle, you shared a blog about how to deal with a narcissistic personality. And we find that sometimes the narcissist and the empath tend to really find each other. And so why would you say that, you know, that with that person with a really super alter ego can be so dangerous for a sensitive person?
I there's a section, if this is you, if you're attracted to narcissistic people and you're an empath, go to the section on empaths and love in the Empath Survival Guide, because I go into this in depth. But basically what happens is that empaths are giving and loving and forgiving, and they always think the other person can be healed if you love them enough or give them compassion. Narcissists, on the other hand, have an empathy deficient disorder, which means full-blown narcissists, which means they're not really capable of empathy, so they don't follow the same rules. You know, I suggest all empaths spend meditation time on that. It's hard to get that a narcissist doesn't have empathy, the full-blown. It's so hard for my empath patients. I can't tell you how much resistance comes up over this, because they feel everyone can be healed with love. Narcissists are self-absorbed, and they'll put on a false front in the beginning. So you'll see a whole different person in the beginning than who you get down the line, as they put on a really charming, intelligent, loving, sensitive, I'll give you the world front, but it's not real. And the way you know it's not real, and I suggest this to people, is just provoke a conflict in the beginning. If you have any suspicions this person is a narcissist, just don't do something their way and see how they deal with it. And usually they show their colors.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Do you have any events coming up?
I do. I have an event this weekend at Multiversity Retreat Center in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California. I have, for healthcare professionals on how to use empathy and intuition in patient care. On July 28th through 30th, I have a weekend retreat at Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, on how to ignite your empathy and intuition. And it's really an empath gathering and all sensitive people. And everyone who loves sensitive people, wants to develop intuition, come to Big Sur. A really, really beautiful place. I look forward to going there, you know, every year.
Yeah, I'd love to be there. I would love that, because I'm really at this point in my life that I'm just opening up even far more doors in terms of growth and learning and being more curious about the paths of many others. And this is not to say that I haven't been doing that. That's all I've ever done. But, you know, after 25 years of walking through many, many doorways, you wonder, now there's got to be some more there that you can still learn from. And that's where I'm always very curious about particular areas that I might have missed. But I'm also still quite curious to see how I can learn from that, but also how I can gain more insight to share with others as well.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Also be in Virginia Beach at the ARE, the Edgar Cayce Foundation,
oh,
the last
when
weekend
are you going to
in
be
March.
Here? Really?
The last weekend
can you come
March.
Up to D.C.? We can host you at the museum.
Oh, my goodness, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to talk. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
We're
that will be
down.
Fantastic, if you can.
Okay, all right, let's talk about it.
All right, so leave us with your website where our listeners can find more information about your work.
It's Dr. Judith Orloff, ORLOFF.com. And I also have a free empath support newsletter on that website as well, if you'd like to sign up.
Excellent. And I just followed you on Twitter, so tweet me back and we'll keep in touch.
Okay, wonderful.
Take care. Many blessings to you, Judith.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So can you imagine, everyone? I mean, we do come with certain sensitivities and vibes, and we pick them up, and sometimes we even pick up thoughts that are not our thoughts, but we own them. For some reason, we end up owning them, and we shouldn't own those thoughts that are not productive, that are not positive, that are not pure. And yet, even if we find ourselves doing that, it is still a signal to you and me that we need to strengthen our inner resolves. Remember what Dr. Orloff said, you know, a lot of people think their love can change people, that it can really change the narcissist and individuals that are really at another level of being very self-serving. I agree with her. I've been doing this for so many years, and I can honestly say that I deeply feel that I really care about people. I really do. And I've observed individuals really struggling with caring enough about themselves to receive that or even to value it when it does come in front of them. And so the question is, where do I keep sharing my energy? Where do I invest my energy? Because wherever I put my energy, I will get something back in return. And if I'm offering it to somewhere or someone that's just not valuing it, then what I'm going to get in return is a lack of value. And I'm going to be very angry with myself. Then these sensitivities are going to keep increasing for no reason. So my pure wish, my pure desire for all of us is that we continue to learn more about the human soul, learn more about our connection and relationship to the divine, and learn more about how we can relate to each other at a level in which our goodness, as I shared earlier on in the Bhagavad Gita, that we can live a life of goodness with a little touch of passion, with an ever so often moment of ignorance, but let it be overwhelmingly always filled with the service and love for the one above. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. Don't forget to visit us at americameditating.org on our website, and follow me on Twitter, AmericaMeditate. Here's Vanessa Williams, Colors of the Wind. Take care, everyone.
Think you own whatever land you land on. Earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit.